Just look to Jesus.
You look to Jesus.
Just look to Jesus now.
To Jesus.
I know he's the one.
He's the one.
I know he's
the only one.
Look to Jesus now.
Everybody, I want to welcome to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. I'm grateful to have Apostle Bolden, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry, join me. I appreciate you for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to have a interview with a quartet legend on Dwight Tito Arthur, but he hasn't called in yet. But if not, we got a backup plan here. It'll be all right here. Hopefully he'll call in soon, but if not, the show must go on. But until then, we're gonna have a continuation of last week's discussion about the New World Order. Wanna kinda dive in a little bit deeper with that. I know we looking at skimming through a book almost at the Rise of the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
That's got some interesting stuff in there. And one thing that was talking about is the abolishment of family, also the reducing the population of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the family aspect, if we can. I know we did a broadcast a couple of months ago. It had to do with family, and I don't know if I mentioned on air, but it was to a point where some women, that. One woman have a child, she meet another woman, she has a child, they decide, hey, you got a child, I got a child, let's just come on move in my house, I got extra room,
mm-hmm.
and y'all can, we can raise our kids together. And so what has happened in society is redefined what a family is,
mm-hmm.
having a man, husband, having a woman, no, have a wife. But nowadays, that's thrown out the door. You see that all through TV. Even I was out thinking this morning, the sitcom Good Times. But James Evans is a good, strong father figure. But come to find out, looking at a video, I think from one of the writers or producers, they didn't want him on the show to begin with.
Hmm.
I think the creator said, "Well, a strong father figure. That's not good. That's not good TV. There's nothing funny in that. On the contrary, that John Namath was a good, good counterpart of Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker, real goofy, and you got John Namath playing James Evans. That's a stern, father figure. But even back then, that was frowned upon." And it's still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a so they are really doing a good job busting up families, making sure there's not a father figure in the house. So I somebody told me, I think after that show, they said, "Oh, you can't base it off that. You don't know the situation. You don't know if the fathers around or whatever." I was like, I was real specific. These two women, they was having issues dating men. They have men issues. I was very specific on that. That's what that article bowed out. And so I was just pointing out, society is redefining what a family is. And that's what, and I'm not picking on same-sex marriage or whatever, but if you're talking about depopulating, there you go. Mixed with abortion, you have two men sword fighting. You have two women grinding or whatever. And you're not gonna populate the world like that. And society has made that the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, so you want to. Yeah, that's just a couple of ways to reduce the population, right there.
Yeah,
through the family. So I just hope people don't start to wake up here.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just piggybacking off of what you were saying concerning good times and the James Evans, the father, who was John Amos, who was axed off of the show, who they took off of the show after so many seasons. The problem that they had, now it was Esther Rowe, the mother, the matriarch of the family. She wanted a good, strong father figure on the show. You know, she wanted the man to be in the home. And so, you know, of course, they obliged that for a little while. And so, of course, you know, the story, the show. So you have Thelma, who was a good role model for the young ladies, for the teenagers. Then you had Michael, the youngest, who was the type of individual. He wanted to be an attorney. He wanted to be the next Thurgood Marshall. And so, but then you had JJ, who was kind of a dreamer, who really didn't want to be anything but an artist. And of course, his artwork was not selling or anything like that. And of course, you know, he dabbled in gang life and things like that. So he had a strong father figure there who was trying to bring him balance. And him being the oldest, the father figure, James, was trying to make him grow up and get in reality, you know. And but he was just kind of just wasting his life away. And so then, you know, he started coming up with these one-liners. Not by nature, just naturally. So in real life, of course, the man who played that role, Jimmy Walker, he was a comedian. And so he brought in his comedy act and things like that with the dynamite and always cracking jokes and things. And so that was fine for a little bit of comic relief for the seriousness of the show. But then they said that the writers started focusing more on him, on Jimmy Walker and his one-liners. And so, of course, the two parents in the show, John and Esther, they started talking to the producers like, no, we have to do something about this. We don't want this show to be about our wayward son who's not going anywhere in life right now. And so, of course, there was some issues in the background. And eventually John Amos got wrote out of the show, and the show became about. And if you all remember, after a while, Esther Rowe herself, she left the show, and you know, for a few seasons, and then come back. But it just showed it. What that showed me when I heard that story and when I watched the interviews was how determined Hollywood was to remove the strong father figure. Because if you remember anything about that show, you know how strong he was. There were pimps in the neighborhood and things like that, and they would come knock on the door causing trouble, and James would be right there to push them back, you know, to get out of my house and don't come here for my children. Don't, you know, he was their protector. And so, you know, so then John Amos get killed off of the show, and so now they're just prey for the predators of the neighborhood. And it just seemed like that's, you know, the show went downhill after they took John. And so we see, and that's how society is, you know, it's not these things that you're talking about today. These things are not coincidence. These things, and people have to wake up and see what's going on, you know. These things are not coincidence that America is and really society in general is attacking the family unit, the family structure, removing the strong father figure out of the house, you know, or trying to, not encouraging our young men to be alpha males and strong, you know, strong men who are decisive. You know, you can't even hardly watch a commercial anymore without the man being downgraded and made into a buffoon. because the woman have a better idea than him. And I'm not saying that women don't have good ideas. I'm just saying that this seems to is going towards the norm now, you know, and it's all an attack really on manhood and on family, you know, in nature, among animals, in the animal kingdom. And we're not part of the animal kingdom. I don't care what scientists say. But in the animal kingdom, the strongest male, two males will fight each other to the death, just about, for the purpose of mating with a female animal that's standing by. And she's wanting to see who's the alpha male here. Which one of y'all is going to win it? You know, they deer do it. You know, lions will do that. Just who's the man? Who's the man in this? See? Because even animals, female animals, understand if I'm going to have offspring, I want to have them from the strongest individual in this, what we have here. And so, but society, us as human beings, we're going in the complete opposite direction. It seems like a lot of women are more comfortable with the one that's not the alpha male. You know, they've labeled that toxic masculinity. Not that they'll have children all day long and want to be with a man that's questionable. And I hope everybody understands what I mean when I say questionable. You don't know what team he's playing for. You know, that's attractive now. And so from that, it's like, you know, we have what we see going on today. Society that's breaking down, that's coming apart at its seams, because of the structure that we've allowed to take place in America, not just in America, but all over the place. You know, and it to me is a sad thing to see, and it's a sad thing to behold, because, again, in my day, it wasn't that way. It wasn't as bad. And now it's done become the norm, you know, on television, just a bunch of weak men, you know, voices just as high as the female's voice in it, and indecisive, and, you know, not making decisions, you know. It was one show I watched on I read an interview with one of the stars on the show, but I can't remember. I think it was Blackish. And the woman, the star, Tracy Ellis Ross, on the show, in the interview, she was saying that she didn't want to be seen doing laundry and cooking in the show. She was asking, so why am I alone? Why do I have to do that? And so they started writing that out, out of the show, where she no longer, you don't see her standing over the stove. You don't see her doing laundry. She didn't want any of that. You know, and then so after that, they wrote in a nanny. And, of course, they wrote that out because the nanny was a woman, so they didn't have that either, see. And so, you know, we have gone backwards as a society. And it's a shame that the animal kingdom is outdoing us in our roles as the way things are supposed to be.
We're just on that number, 888-627-6008. Info at therossbill.com is the email address to contact the broadcast. We just continue our discussion on the New World Order. It seems to be an attack from all angles, even from the family to the food we eat, even to the environment, the creation. I remember it had to be under Obama's administration. I wish I knew the senators or the congressman name, but he said, I heard him just, this is clear. He said it's going to take a while. Okay, he said it's going to take a while to control the people. And it sounds like we have Mr. Tito on the phone with us. How you doing there, Mr. Tito?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Yeah, we're doing just fine. Yeah, I'm glad you was able to join us today. We have
it's raining up my way here, and the phone messing up. I said, "Oh man, did me hear ever get you on this phone?"
All right, yeah.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I understand stuff happens. So I'm glad to have you on there. We have the, if y'all not familiar with quartet singing, but I suggest y'all get on there and Google Robert Barron,
fantastic volunteers. We have on the phone Mr. Dwight Arthur, better known as Tito in the quartet world. He's currently the lead singer of the Volunteers, and he was a longtime bass guitarist for Robert Blair and Fantastic Volunteers. So Mr. Tito, could you briefly tell us how did you hook up with Robert Blair?
Man, that goes back a long ways. Well, a long ways to me would be 50 years ago.
Goodness.
Like when I first started into the Volunteers sound. Mm-hmm. When I first heard the Volunteers, I thought it were women. And then they showed me a picture of who it was. I said, no way. And I got interested then. And I was singing with a group around here in Cleveland. And I always would tell them, one of these days I'm going with them boys. I'm going with them. Y'all gonna see. And Robert Blair came to town. Excuse me. When Robert Blair came to town, I got here with him. And he used to always tell me, man, go sit down somewhere. You ain't ready. Then the Swan Silvertones came and got me. I stayed with the Swans for a little while. Then I went to the Gerald Sisters for a little while. Then I went to the Blind Boys for a little while. In 1977, Black came and got me.
Ain't that something?
And I've been here ever since July 5th, 1977.
Yes, sir. That's a long time. That's some dedication there. You know,
yes, sir.
I want to ask you this here. I have Pastor Apostle Bolden on joining us here, so you might hear something from him too. Now, a couple of months back, Dwight, I had Miss Evelyn Turrentine AG. I interviewed her, and I'm gonna ask you the same thing I asked her about. Industry versus ministry, you know, kind of the entertainment side. You know, I know the quartets get a bad name, you know, because, you know, people don't take them serious. You know, they say, oh, man, all of them just showboating and womanizing and all that good stuff. And then, and, you know, nowadays people, some of the quartetters, you know, they will say, you know, yes, we do entertain. We got to give the people something to look at. And all that, no stuff like that. So, when you was under Robert Blair, did he emphasize, you know, putting in something to entertain the people, or was he strictly, you know, about ministering to the people? And how are you with the current group? Or do y'all talk about, hey man, let's do these steps to, I know it's how you guys make a living, and you got to, that's the way some of them look at it, that you got to make, you making a living, we got to do something to get booked, to stay busy. So did Robert Blair emphasize, hey fellas, we need to work on this coordination, or was he strictly worrying about ministering through song, or was it a mix?
But the ministry was first. Mm-hmm. The rehearsal brought in the steps. Just to do something a little different, put a little something to it. But then it was all in feelings also. When I was in the ministry first, and entertain the folks at the same time, singing the songs that they might want to hear. Sometimes he wouldn't sing them. Sometimes he would.
All right.
I mean, a lot of times, songs we've been rehearsed, he wouldn't sing them.
All righty. And I'm gonna run some more run some here by Apostle. You never know an outline. This is a guy, you know, he has his own platform. I respect him a lot. So I'm gonna get Apostle Bolden to comment on this here. You know, he's an advocate for, you know, quartet singing. Mm-hmm. And you know, people, when people say perform, they make it like a bad word, but when he would say, he'll try to make it into something good. He would say, well, Jesus performed miracles. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to put that correlation between, you know, singers getting on stage, you know, sometimes showboating every now and then. And he tried to put that correlation where, well, Jesus performed miracles, so there's nothing wrong with performing. Mm-hmm. But Jesus performed them. I don't believe for 1 second Jesus up there. I'm not. Jesus ain't up there twitching before he lay hands on somebody. Not like these guys. Like these guys do nowadays. So I don't
believe he did it neither.
Yeah, sir. I respect the man's. I respect the platform, but I don't like the Apostle Bone to kind of dive into that. But could you straighten up?
I don't believe he did all that.
Why did Jesus pretty much perform the miracles to get the people's faith up?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe you can don't break that down even further. You know what? It's Jesus performing miracles and people singing on stage, entertaining. That's two different things. I mean, perform miracles. Yeah, but performing on stage.
The singers ain't doing nothing but preparing. The singers prepare you for the minister. The minister mm-hmm. gives you that opportunity to go on to confess your sins and all that. They ain't got nothing to do with the miracles that Jesus performed.
Right, right. Yeah. You want to add something on to that, Apostle?
Yeah, I think whatever we do, we ought to do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important, you know, whatever we're doing, that we make sure that God is getting the glory. You know, sometimes, in whatever the case may be, you know, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he performed miracles, he wasn't entertaining.
Right, right.
He wasn't entertaining. He was ministering those miracles. And I think, you know, I think it's important that whenever we're doing something from the Lord, for the Lord, people's lives ought to be changed. You know, whatever it is that we're doing for God, whether it's singing or preaching or whatever it is, their lives ought to be changed. If flesh is in it, lives aren't going to be changed. They might be entertained. They might even be inspired. But when God is in it, lives are changed, you know, and people's lives are changed for the better. And so I think we have to be careful, and because there's a fine line in that, and so we have to be careful not to allow flesh to get in it. Because, of course, when you're talking about worldly entertainers, they're in it for a whole different reason.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then as gospel singers and things like that, you know, of course, they're just that, gospel singers. And so they're singing the gospel and helping to bring a generation closer to Jesus Christ and pointing to Jesus Christ. And so I think it's important that whenever they are singers or whatever it is people are doing, that they are under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is always going to point people to Jesus Christ. and the finished work of the cross. And so that's my take on it. I sincerely believe that people should, whenever they go into ministry, whatever that ministry may be, to keep Jesus Christ as the center and the focus, so that he can be glorified. Because in him being glorified, that means lives will be changed.
Yeah, that was well put. Jesus went out there entertaining. You know, he was performing all those miracles with compassion. And so to kind of mix those two together, that's kind of dangerous ground there, Mr. Tito.
Good.
Yeah,
you got to be real about it. If you ain't gonna be real about it, don't do it. Don't know what it might be another kind of miracle that happened if you ain't real about it.
Yes, sir. We have Mr. Tito of the Fantastic Balloneers on the phone right now. And Mr. Tito, like I said, shamefully, in the gospel field, that there is much competition out there. I hate to say that, but it is. But have you experienced your time with the Balloneers, like with other professional groups out there? Have you sensed like any other groups trying to like throw shade on, you know, you're performing, or they just, you know, like the big names? Like the other big names that's out there with you guys, that have any of those guys like try to, like I said, throw shade on you? Because I know, like in the quartet field, like the Dixie Hummingbirds, they was on the top, and you have the Mighty Clouds of Joy, they was on the top for a while, and the Gospel Keynotes, and you have the Balloneers. Have you sensed where, you know, groups, other groups seen y'all soaring high, and they have just done a little bit of things to try to, to hurt y'all name? Have you experienced that amongst your colleagues out there?
No, I haven't really experienced that. The only thing I experienced, and which is crazy to me, like the guys that left this group and went off and started another set of Balloneers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we all singing the same song, some of us anyway. But that's the only thing I experienced. I don't know what the reason was and why and all that. This can't get along, that can't get along. No, it ain't even about that. It's just too many folks that would underbid you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody say, well, I want $5,000, this one over here might say, give me $1,000. Who do you think they're going to take?
$1,000.
That happens 7 days a week if they let it.
Up.
So I sit back and wait and watch.
Yeah, it's funny to say that, because I wanted to ask you about that. You know, there are a lot of legendary groups out there. You know, like there was like two sets of gospel keynotes, even when Willie Neal was living. And you have like, I don't know how many sets of Soul Stirrers that's out there now. And you have, at least two sets of Balloneers. And you know what? I said, maybe you could speak on the Balloneers perspective. What would push groups to split like that and travel with the same name? Now that kind of, to me, I think that kind of tarnished your legacy. What don't you think so?
Yeah, well, see, you have people in the group that talk against each other, and you have folks that was saying, well, I believe he taking the money. I believe he ain't doing us right, whatever. You know, but they not going to take time out to do it to find out what's going on. So mm-hmm. they feel like they got more sense than you. And I could do better if I form my own set of violin there. Or yeah. I could do worse if I stay over here. But you'll never know because you ain't going to have no meeting to find out what the cause of it. And all it takes is communication.
You're just a yes, sir. Just a matter of no getting a clear understanding of what's happening. You know, Apostle, even that happens in churches too. I remember a church I was attending back in my college years. I was attending this church, know that one of the ministers pulled me to the side. We was talking at the church. He said, man, I'm gonna start my own church, you know. Had some preacher, some finger picking guitar stuff. I'm like, okay. I said, all right, then. But that didn't last long. I looked up. He was back there. So, and it's amazing though. Some people, like some churches, you know, they'll keep like the base name. But they might sub it with, they might remove one name or one word and sub it in with something else. So like I said, that's just unfortunate that's happened in the gospel field. I'm thinking about the secular world. The one group coming to mind is the Temptations. But I could be wrong, but I don't know too many secular groups that does that. I can't think of too many. Like I said, only group I can think of right now is the Temptations. But but you rarely hear that about the rock and roll or go ahead, Tito.
Yeah, well, they feel like their name can do better than your name.
Yeah.
When his head was left the Temptations and started the review. He got a review. He got a view to imitate the Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that was about because he was Temptation made hits with the Temptation. You know, stardom is something, I guess. I ain't never been a star. I guess that goes to your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir. Seems like name recognition. You think you want to break loose and start a name for yourself, but...
Yeah.
But you know, you got a well-known name. I guess you're gonna. I guess some people ride off of that. I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Your name just as big as Don Cornelius right now, bro.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I tell you, hey. So let me ask this question. Okay, so. When Robert Blair passed, I guess before he passed, who did he pass the torch on to who hands did he lead the group to? Was it you or was it a couple of y'all? Who was it that?
You know what? I was with Robert Blair for I'd say 2 weeks before he died. This 2 weeks straight. We wasn't working nowhere. I was with him for 2 weeks. I go and take him where he had to go and do whatever he needed done. And, but right before that, I had taken sick. had a little slight heart attack. And, man, so I was under stress and all that. But anyway, I stayed with Blair 2 weeks after I got out the hospital. And another guy came to used to drive bus for us, and his brother used to sing with the bottom there. Joe Ocean, McDaniel, came and took my place so I could come home and get myself together. I never heard him say, if anything happens, this one, this one, this one, this one, whatever, that they're going to take over. But he would always say, I wish I could just get y'all together and y'all do this the right way. Because we have some guys come when they got ready to come, or this one might come so we weren't making no money. They take turns leaving and coming back. So that's the way that was. It was time some of the guys you expect to be at the pro wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But let them say they making a big dollar, they there.
Yeah.
But it was just, that was just one bit of bottom. There was a lot of groups like that.
Oh, yeah.
Members would come when they got ready because they thought they weren't going to make no money. They wouldn't show up. If they thought they were going to make some money, they'd be right there with bills on. Sometimes with the wrong uniform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something. Well, you know, I'm going to... You made me think about something, Mr. Tito. So you said you've been with the Volunteers since 1977?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So ever since you joined them, that was your main source of income. Like, were you, since you joined them, did you have, a regular 9-to-5 job? Or ever since you joined the Volunteers, that's your...
When I joined the Volunteer, we were, well, I put it like this, when I joined the Volunteer, they were working like 5 to 6 days out of a week.
Mm.
Every night, you had maybe 1 or 2 nights off to travel to get to the next destination. It depends on how far the destination was. We had to leave Dallas one night and come all the way to New York. And we wasn't flying. We drove.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, okay, so that really kept y'all. So you pretty much stayed busy singing and stuff, right? So it wasn't necessary for y'all to have a regular 9-to-5 back in the days, right?
Well, a lot of quartets weren't doing that then. That was out on the road. Like I said, we were working 5 to 6 days out of a week, sometimes 7 days a week.
Hmm. Man, that's a skill. It's weird. Now, boss, I'm gonna run this by you because recently I had a phone call about the very same issue. Not about singers, but I had this quote thrown to me: "Man don't work, man don't eat." Mm-hmm. Now you hear, I know a lot of, I guess that just pertains to preachers. As you hear, I know some, I've got a lot of good singers out there, not just in the gospel field, but in the secular field, whatever. That's all they make their living.
Mm-hmm.
But since we got, see, we're talking gospel, we stick to the gospel field. You know, I know there's a lot of guys, not a lot of quartet singers, or solo artists or whatever, like the Kurt Franklins or the Shirley Caesars or whatever. You know, they, I guess, how they make their living.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, not to put you on the spot. So, now when they say man don't work, man don't need, that seems to be only directed towards preachers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody says anything about the no, not against. No, there's all respect, and no, not against anybody, any single thing like that. But it just only pertains to preachers,
mm-hmm.
not the singers. And so when they say man don't work, man don't eat, or they talking about having a physical job or what? I mean, why would somebody make a big issue over that scripture there?
I think one reason is that because they are misinterpreting that scripture. Paul was among some people, and he had those same people, they had wrote him a letter basically saying that there are some people who are idle, that weren't doing anything. They weren't working with their hands. They weren't out singing. They weren't out preaching. They weren't doing anything. They were just being idle. And so Paul said, follow my example. When I was among you, I worked with my own hands. And so, and that's why he said, so if a man don't work, he don't eat. So here's the thing, who defines what work is? I'm pretty sure Mr. Tito will say traveling, doing all that traveling and singing the gospel and things like that. That was work.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, preaching is work as well. You know, pastoring is not a difficult job. You're dealing with a lot of different personalities and trying to scoot them all to heaven, you know, without hurting each other, you know, and things like that. So, you know, and Paul said that ye are my work in the gospel. Ye are the sign of my apostleship. Ye are my work in the gospel. So, you know, I guess people can define what they think work is, you know, I guess really it's just they don't understand what all goes into it. Just like what Mr. Tito was saying concerning how people, they, you know, what can cause division in a group, you know,
right,
one person
right.
thinking that they can do it better than the other. And, you know, everybody can do that if they don't know what's really going on behind the scenes and what all goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get out there and try to do it on their own and fall on their face and things like that. So, you know, it's one of those things of, when you're anointed to do something, you make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just looks like it takes no effort. Michael Jordan had us all thinking we could jump from the free throw line and dunk, you know, because he made it look easy. But, you know, he was graced to do that. And so when God's grace is upon you, it you know, that's exactly what it is. You're graced with that. And to some people, it's easy. And then they get out and they start trying to do what you were doing, what you were graced to do, that they're not graced to do, and they find out the hard way they don't have that grace, and their motive is wrong to begin with. So I think a lot of that plays into that. You know, and another thing is, like what Jesus Christ said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin. And so sometimes, and Mr. Tito might, I don't know if this has been his experience, but sometimes people that don't know you support you more than the people that you grew up with and the people who you grew up around. See, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin. Sometimes when people become too familiar with you, they don't have the same respect and honor that they're supposed to have for you. So, of course, a man don't work, he don't eat. You're a man. I don't see you working a 9-to-5, you know, so...
Yeah,
you know, so a lot of that plays into that, you know. So we're gonna quote that scripture. Let's quote it in the right context and take the other scripture. So we're not taking one scripture and trying to build a whole belief system off of it, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and I think that's a big part of the problem. People are offended because God is using you, and who are you? See,
mm-hmm. Yo, we have Mr. Dwight Tito, author, the lead singer of the Fantastic Violinaires, and
Miss Tito, I just had to throw that out there. I know guys like yourself and Mr. Harvey Watkins. I think Mike Kempson. I heard him. That's the bass player for Slim Supreme Angels. And I forgot what year he said he joined the group, but I remember him saying he might have been in the early 80s or late 70s, but he said ever since he got with Slim, he didn't have to have a 9-to-5 job at all, even to this day. And so that's, like you said, that's work. Been on the road 7 days a week, my goodness.
Yeah, sometimes like
know how y'all guys do it. You go ahead, Tito.
It was a job. It was love. Mm-hmm. It was peaceful. And there were times where we might have had to cancel a program and move on. But we stuck together. But nowadays, it's all about the almighty dollar.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand everything going up. But we can make the dollar. We put ourselves together and stick together and quit acting like fools.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I have a question there, Mr. Tito. If there was anything that you could do over again, what would you do differently with the wisdom that you have now?
Well, what would I do? I would do this again, but it would be in a different manner. It would be in a different manner.
What would be different?
I definitely would do it again.
So what would be different? What would you do different?
It would have started off business. It would have to start off business. The business would have to be way better than what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we all have to put our trust in each other as well as we put it in Jesus. Because without him, we ain't nothing. He comes first. You doing his work. You trying to show people over here, over there, over yonder, as they say, the righteous way. Try this way for a change. Quit doing what you're doing out there in the street, which they ain't going to do no way.
Yes, sir. And, yeah, I got to... I got a question for you too. Being under Robert Blair, what are some of the standards that he set for the men in the group? Like what are some of the rules and regulations that he expected y'all to live up to, and also what are your expectations for the fellas in the group?
Well, so I put it like this. When I came here, there really, really wasn't no rules. Only thing they asked was respect.
Yeah.
That's all they asked for was respect. It wasn't no hard rules on you. And it wasn't no fines and all that. You got away from all that. When the group was paying $2 a week or $2 a day or however, you had a little unity. Now all that done disappear. Ain't no fine. Blair would find you if he caught you doing something.
Hmm.
If he caught you. Other than that, it was just wild and loose, man.
Yes, sir. Well,
that's why they started coming when they wanted to come, go when they got ready to go. And yeah, there's been times where we didn't have no shows with council. We ain't had no program. Well, you talking about catching it? We caught it.
Mm.
Yeah, we caught it. We all get up in one room. First time I ever seen somebody go to the store and buy a bag of hot dogs and put them in the sink. Clean the sink out real good and run hot water until the hot dogs got hot.
Well, y'all may do.
With a loaf of bread.
There you go.
So, I don't
do what you have to do,
huh? Food, yes, sir. But the thing was, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun doing what we were doing.
Yeah, that's the main thing. You got to have a passion and enjoy what you're doing. That'll make it more enjoyable. Before we get out of here, Mr. Tito, y'all said the volunteers, are y'all working on y'all got a project working on? Y'all working on, or y'all got some tour dates lined up?
They supposed to be releasing a single real soon.
All right.
We done finished the single. We haven't finished the whole project, but they're going to release the single real soon. All Right With Me, I believe that's the title. Yeah, All Right With Me.
Yeah. Have to look out for that. Do you all have a website?
Yeah. No, don't ask me what it is. I can't tell.
Well, I tell you what, I'll go find it. I'll make sure I put it up on the video that we'll post.
All I think is Fantastic Violin, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, something like that. But whenever you want to look up the website, just pull up Reverend Frank Thompson Jr. or Reverend Gaston Lee Bible.
Okay, that's
you can get to it real quick that way. I don't know nothing about them, their website thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play on the phone.
Yes. I got you. Well, everybody, this is Mr. Dwight. Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, everybody, this was Mr.
I ain't the nosy kind. I don't get on the website and all them crazy things.
Oh, yeah. This was Mr. Dwight, one of the legendary singers out there for the Fantastic Violinaires. Sir, I really appreciate you for coming on and joining us. Apostle Bolden, could you give out the website to your website?
Yes, it's www.onetruth.tv. www.TRUTH.TV.
Right.
And then you find all our information.
Yes, sir. And Tito, I thank you for joining us tonight.
See how you can do that? I can't do that. I forgot all that.
Right, man. Sir, well, thank you for joining us and everybody till next time. God bless you.
It was my pleasure to be with you, Doc.
You got it, man.
It was my pleasure.
Yes, sir.
And you all have a blessed night and hope to see y'all soon somewhere.
If you only trust him, he'll praise your feet. I know he will. Oh, on high you run.
Yes, he is. I know. I'll try him one morning soon.